Welcome, great patriotic friends, to November 30th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. And one of the reasons why I do this show is for the men and women serving in the military. If you are serving or if you have ever served, thank you for your service. Another reason why I do this show is because Americans, unlike just about every other country on planet Earth, fly our flags everywhere. That's awesome. Be sure to check out the Facebook page at facebook.com/Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Let's get involved in the discussion, folks. Let me know what your take is on today's show. Your comments and questions are always welcome. I assembled this podcast in a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. If you're looking to move to the area or if you have any questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So check it out, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. And now let's begin the show as we customarily do with a Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, put our right hands over our hearts, and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. And now on to today's episode. The Brady Bill goes into effect. I'll talk about the Battle of Franklin. And we'll wish a happy birthday to electro house music genius Steve Aoki. All right, so now here I go. 1993, Brady Bill goes into effect. Here's a quick story on this, and we will get to the debate on gun control. In 1981, Press Secretary for President Ronald Reagan, James Brady, took a bullet in the head for the president. Reagan would be shot in the left lung, but recuperated and would be back in the White House 2 weeks later. Brady also made a remarkable recovery and became a leading proponent of gun control legislation. He got a bill going, and President Bill Clinton signed it on November 30th, 1993. The bill basically requires a 5 business day waiting period while authorities check on the gun buyer's background, during which the time the sale is either approved or prohibited based on an established set of criteria. All right, now the debate. The gun control debate tends to bring the worst in many people, especially after a few cocktails. These debates often lead to name-calling, insults, and other childlike behavior. According to Wikipedia, gun control supporters say that broad or unrestricted gun rights inhibit the government from fulfilling that responsibility. Gun rights supporters promote firearms for self-defense, hunting, sporting activities, and security against tyranny. Gun control advocates state that keeping the guns out of the hands of criminals results in safer communities, while gun rights advocates state the exact opposite, that firearm ownership by law-abiding citizens reduces crime. Look, I'm just telling you what people say. This isn't a poli-sci class. It is a history show. The debate is encouraged on my beloved chat line. So step right up, everybody. Let's take a look at the polls in the meantime. According to Gallup in January 2014, 40% like the laws the way they are, and 31% want stricter gun control, while 16% want less. I'm going to stay out of this for now, but even I can only hold my tongue so long. I'll just say this. If you're going to wear a yellow shirt to tell the world you're for stricter gun laws, you're telling bad guys who actually do have guns that you're unprotected. So you might want to rethink that whole yellow shirt thing before you get your wallet stolen. I mean, I would dare somebody to try to take my wallet. I just wouldn't let them. And I don't need a yellow shirt or a red shirt to make a statement about it. 1864, Battle of Franklin. John Schofield v. John Bell Hood. The result? Not just a Union victory, but more of a Union slapdown. This was otherwise known as the Picket Charge of the West. General William T. Sherman had recently defeated Hood's forces in Georgia and now turned his men east in what is known as the March to the Sea. Hood moved north to Tennessee to draw Sherman out of the Deep South. Sherman dispatched General George Thomas to Nashville and Schofield's forces to Franklin, right outside of Nashville. Hood marched his 30,000 men to Franklin, but Schofield's men marched right past him. Hood was furious and attempted to prevent Schofield from reaching Nashville, even though Thomas was already there.
Hood's artillery wing hadn't even shown up yet, but Hood went on the attack against the Yankee defenders anyway. At first, the rebels were able to advance through Union General George Wagner's center, but Union General Emerson Opdyke disobeyed a direct order from Wagner to fall back and instead plunged his division into the battle and was able to secure the Union line after several hours of fighting. On a side note, Colonel Arthur MacArthur Jr., aka the Boy Colonel, led his 24th Wisconsin unit into the defense, and he was shot in the shoulder and kept going, then was shot in the chest and still moved on. Then MacArthur was shot in the leg and was carried by his troops to safety. Good thing he survived that one. His son, Douglas MacArthur, would later on, of course, be a huge help for the Allies in World War II. Incidentally, speaking of casualties, the Yankees suffered about 2,300 with 189 dead, and the rebels lost nearly three times that amount, including 1,700 killed. Out of the 64 casualties for the Confederates, six of them were Confederate generals and an astonishing 55 were regiment officers. The loss was a huge blow to the Confederate Army, and 2 weeks later in Nashville, Hood would fight again with more disastrous results. To be continued. 1977, happy birthday electro house, musician, record producer, DJ, and music great Steve Aoki. His daddy Rocky was a badass wrestler from Japan who came to America and started a fun and delicious restaurant chain called Benihana. But the story isn't about Aoki Sr. As much as I love Benihana, this story is about Steve, and it always has been. Steve has 800 records under his Dim Mac label, he DJs around 300 shows per year, and puts his health habits such as meditation and exercise through the Steve Aoki Charitable Fund, which raises money for global humanitarian relief. Old Man Rocky, playboy of the 70s and 80s, didn't help his son Steve achieve any of it. In fact, Old Man Rocky used to wonder why Steve was doing gigs and hustling shows trying to sell records when he could have just been a Benihana regional manager. Not that everyone doesn't find stories about Tori Spelling getting burnt on the grill as hilarious as I do, LOL. Instead, Steve went out on his own slinging his records at parties and gigs, living in a cramped apartment with his rogue crew. Rocky gave him college money. Other than that, not one penny. Steve had a lot to prove. Growing up in Newport Beach as a dorky rich Asian kid in a white neighborhood, his dad came to America and made millions with a concept of turning a Japanese restaurant into a playhouse. Rocky was charismatic and barely had time for Steve, already the middle child that he was. Definitely, Steve had a lot to prove. So, Steve set his goals, focused on the next project, and then the next. And somehow, through maxed out credit cards, he was able to keep the rent paid and his momentum going. He grew a reputation for antics while touring, such as throwing cake in the audience, popping champagne and spraying them in the crowd, and raft surfing. The apple, as we can see, doesn't fall far, or in this case, thrown far. Thanks for the idea, Dad. Once Steve started Dim Mac Records, he was able to pay off his maxed out credit cards. Tragically, Steve lost Rocky in 2008. But check out the Netflix show about Steve called I'll Sleep and I'm Dead, which goes into more detail about how Rocky influenced his life. And turned out, Rocky taught Steve well. Steve has remixed Kid Cudi, he's collaborated with Linkin Park, Afrojack, will.i.am, Iggy Azalea, Lil Jon, Laid Back Luke, Fall Out Boy, Travis Barker, Lil Uzi Vert, and millions more. He's won awards for Best DJ, Best Set of the Season, Billboard 2007, Best Mix Album of the Year 2008, and MTV Latin America Awards 2015. Steve Aoki avoided the stigma of being a first-generation American nothing SoCal brat by riding daddy's coattails. And he did it all on his own, using his passion, his will and determination, and of course, goal setting. Happy birthday, Steve. And so that, scholars, is going to wrap it up for November 30th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com, as well as the Facebook page. Let me know what you think about today's show. For instance, what's your take on gun control? You for or against? why and why not? House music fans, anything you would care to add to that Steve Aoki story? So yeah, let me know what you think. Be sure to check out tomorrow's episode. I'll talk about the corrupt bargain, the game Bingo, and Rosa Parks. So don't miss that. Until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. See you tomorrow.